You are listening to the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast. My name is Asa.
And I'm Allison.
And this week on the Coffee House, we're taking a little bit of a left turn, a zag, if you will, not talking about just one composer, but rather an entire family of outstanding musicians. That's right, the Bach family.
So this is kind of serving as a Father's Day special because there were a lot of men in the Bach family who were musically inclined and passed their talents on to their sons. We'll get into a few of those people a little bit later, but let's talk about the general Bach family.
So, you're all probably well aware of the most famous Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach. And interestingly, he occupies a place right in the middle of the family, with many great musicians coming both before and after him.
Also well known are two of his sons, Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, and the so-called London Bach, Johann Christian.
And it should be noted that it was only after the death of Johann Sebastian Bach that he reached fame due to the promotion of his music by Felix Mendelssohn. And really, aside from Johann Christian Bach moving to Italy and then London, as we'll discuss, the Bachs were just a local German family with very little fame outside of central Germany for most of their lives.
Though the whole musical family apparently had frequent family gatherings, and they would all participate in music and merrymaking. So, I mean, really, they're just like any goofy family getting together for a reunion and doing some single fun activity that they all enjoy.
Now, there is a list of all the musical Bachs from the family published in the Oxford Music Online Journal that lists over 70 musical Bach family members, starting from the 1500s and ending in the 1800s. Now, most of this family tree is attributed actually to our famous J.S. Bach, who, in addition to being a musician, was quite interested in genealogy. He actually created a very detailed and basically uninterrupted list of his entire family that provides us with a lot of what we know about the Bachs before Bach.
So we unfortunately don't have time to talk about every single member of this family, so we'll just take some time this Father's Day to go into a little background of J.S. Bach, his father, and then two of his more famous sons.
Before we delve in, though, I have a question for you, Allison. Why is most of the Bach family named Johann?
It's obviously a very pervasive family name, but they don't really go around calling each other Johann. That's not really how that works. In the German tradition, the first name of a child is so-called a spiritual name, and it's given in honor of a certain saint. So Saint John, which is where Johann comes from, was the Bach family saint of choice, and so everyone got to be Johann. But the second name, or what we would think of as a middle name now, was actually the name that was used. It's not really Johann Sebastian, it's just Sebastian.
Just Sebastian Bach.
But Johann is just a little more formal, I guess. So if you find yourself getting confused about who we're talking about with all the Johanns being thrown around, simply listen for the second name, ignore the Johann.
Okay, so let's talk about first the elder Bach, Ambrosius Bach. Sorry, Johann Ambrosius Bach. He was born in 1645 and died in 1695. There's actually very little information about Bach. Of course, when we just say Bach, we're probably talking about J.S. Bach. Now, there's very little information about Bach's father. However, we do know that he was a miraculous musician.
And he also had an identical twin brother, Johann Christoph, who was a musician as well, a violinist. Johann Ambrosius himself was most famously the well-regarded director of music in the town of Eisenach from 1671 until his death in 1695.
And his first Easter presentation in the town in 1672 warranted a write-up in the local paper, declaring he, quote, made music at Easter with organ, violins, voices, trumpets and kettle drums, something no cantor or director is known to have done before in the history of Eisenach. Now, his musical abilities were well sought after, with the town of Erfurt offering him the post of music director in 1684. However, he never accepted this position because the Duke of Eisenach was not willing to give up his most accomplished and versatile director.
During his time as director in Eisenach, his oldest son, Johann Christoph Bach, apparently named after Ambrosius's twin brother, served as a music apprentice to him. And Johann Christoph Bach is the brother of Johann Sebastian Bach,
which we'll talk about now. Probably the most well-known of the Bachs, of course. Born in 1685, there's not much actually known about the life of young J.S. Bach. However, we can tell from birth and death dates that his father Ambrosius died when J.S. was only 10.
After this, J.S. moved in with his musical older brother, Johann Christoph, and was given clavier and organ lessons. Now, Bach was a staunch Lutheran, like all the rest of his family, and he spent a lot of time writing many sacred works such as chorales, cantatas, such as his famous Wachet auf, also known as Sleepers Awake. And oratorios such as his pivotal St. Matthew Passion.
Now, of course, we also know J.S. Bach to be the king of the Baroque era, with his death in 1750 commonly being quoted as the very end of that era. And some of Bach's most famous instrumental works are his keyboard toccata, or passacaglia, or preludes and fugues, really. He was a master of all genres, but really the king of counterpoint, which is the basis of fugue functionality. And he was willing to push the limits, sometimes creating extremely complex four-voice fugues, such as the Well-Tempered Clavier, Fugue No. 4 in C-sharp minor.
The sensibilities of the High Baroque valued improvisation skill, and Bach was a master of this. And he was even once challenged to an improvisation duel, but his opponent ducked out in fear before it could happen, because everyone actually knew Bach would obviously win.
Obviously win. Yeah, how does that even happen?
Well, apparently they were to be given a theme, and on the spot they would have to come up with standard Baroque variations on it. And Bach was so very talented at fugue writing that he could write three or four voice fugues on the spot. And that was really a feat that no one else could claim that they could do. So everyone knew he would win.
So you might have heard of Bach's musical offering. This famous musical offering was sort of a backhanded gift to Frederick II. During a court visit, Frederick gave Bach a theme and challenged him to improvise a three-voice fugue, which of course Bach did on the spot. Frederick then demanded a six-voice fugue, which Bach unfortunately could not improvise. However, he took the theme home with him, and 2 months later, sent to Frederick II his musical offering, comprised of the three-voice fugue, 10 puzzle canons acting as explorations of musical ideas in the theme, and finally, the requested six-voice fugue.
So getting back to Bach as a father, he had 20 children between his two wives. However, this being the Baroque era, only 10 survived to adulthood. And he was really actually a very good father and nurtured their education musically and intellectually, and he spent a good deal of time composing pieces for all of his children to practice. A good example of this is the Klavierbüchlein for Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, composed for his first son.
And one of Bach's many musical jobs included being the cantor at Thomasschule in Leipzig. He is said to have taken his job partly for the benefit of his musical sons so they could attend the Thomasschule for scholarly development. And speaking of sons...
We next come to Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, born in 1714. C.P.E. Bach inherited the title of Most Important Protestant Composer after his father. So, like Johann Sebastian, Carl Philipp Emanuel wrote extensively for the church and also served as a court musician. And also like his father, he held various court positions throughout Germany, including with the Prussian court and later in Hamburg.
Now, C.P.E. Bach was vehemently devoted to his father, and in many of his musical director posts, he would put on concerts featuring both his own music and that of his father, Johann Sebastian's. Being normally a pleasant and non-confrontational person, he would sort of break from this mold to adamantly defend his father against any criticism, and he would also do his best to prevent unauthorized publishing of his father's work.
Music also drew inspiration from that of Johann Sebastian. He created harmonically inventive fantasias much like his father's, and he also composed inventive dance suites, a genre that was all the rage during the Baroque, and which his father was also very proficient at. C.P.E. did break away from his father's compositional influence a bit, however, as there was a new genre of music coming onto the scene, the symphony. And C.P.E. was one of the first of the Bachs to write this kind of genre. He first composed 3 movement string symphonies, but eventually even included wind parts.
So we have Johann Ambrosius, the father, Johann Sebastian, the son and father, Carl Philipp Emanuel, the son of the son, and Johann Christian Bach, another of the sons. Johann Christian, or J.C. Bach, is the youngest of J.S. Bach's sons, and was apparently also his favorite. Like his other children, J.S. took charge of ensuring J.C. had a well-rounded musical education, as he inherited a number of manuscripts and harpsichords when his father died in 1750.
After his father's death, J.C. went to live with his brother, C.P.E., who continued his music education himself. And that's a lot like when J.S. had to go live with his brother after Ambrosius' death.
And Johann Sebastian also was not the oldest brother. So I think it's kind of some very interesting parallels here.
In 1755, J.C. made history as the first Bach to travel to Italy. And he gained a patron there, Count Agostino Litta, and continued taking composition lessons. His time in Italy contributed to him eventually converting to Catholicism, which allowed his music to transform into a freer style not seen in his staunchly Protestant relatives.
Now, J.C. is known as the London Bach, because after spending 7 years in Italy, he made a permanent move not back to Germany like the rest of his family, but to London, England. Now, J.C. further differed from the rest of this mighty family at the time by becoming an avid composer of Italian opera. Now, his first big hit was Orione, which famously used unusual instruments for the time, like the clarinet, to create ingenious effects. And after this hit, he was appointed music master for Queen Charlotte, and out of this position sprouted numerous keyboard concertos, including his most famous God Save the King variations.
J.C. was very on top of the new musical trends and was therefore more firmly rooted in the classical era sound than his predecessors, and arguably his less worldly brothers. And he, along with his colleague Carl Friedrich Abel, were in charge of hosting subscription concerts featuring the latest classical symphonies, concertos, and other instrumental and vocal works. J.C. even had an enormous influence over another famous father-son musical force, Leopold and Wolfgang Mozart, because young Mozart may have been featured in one of J.C.'s concerts, and J.C. even gave them an autographed manuscript of one of his piano concertos.
Now, Johann Christian Bach was also a major contributor to the new symphony style of the classical era. He followed the trend of using woodwind instruments for more than just noise, and showed compositional greatness with his ability for musical interplay in his symphonies for double orchestra.
So JC kind of went in a different direction than the rest of his German Bach family, especially if we compare his music to that of his brothers, CPE, but they're all Bachs and they all stemmed from the same teacher of their father.
And so, as we said earlier, the Bachs as a musical family actually date back to the 1500s. So basically, everyone in enlightened history could theoretically have heard the contemporary music of a Bach. And remember, in this episode, we're just looking at the fatherly ties of the J.S. Bach era of the genealogy, but remember the musical tradition has been passed down father to son for hundreds of years of Bach. A real musical dynasty.
And it continues today as we continually learn more about the Bach family, and more Bachs have their music being played on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look past Johann Sebastian Bach down to his sons, especially somebody like Johann Christian, because when you think of Bach, you really think of these staunch Baroque musical styles, these fugues, these passacaglias, things like that. And Johann Christian really broke from this mold, and so his music is something not completely different. You still hear that same influence, but you get a lot of other interesting things baked in, the worldly influences of the Italians and the English on that background of German Baroque theory.
And so we hope that you've enjoyed this tour through the Bach family, and maybe as you're celebrating Father's Day, you can go listen to some more Bach music and follow the lineage through even more Bachs that we didn't have a chance to talk about today.
Did any of the son Bachs, the younger Bachs, get Father's Day presents for their elder Bachs?
Maybe they gave them boxes.
Boxes of Bachs. Boxes upon boxes of Bachs here on the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast. For the podcast, my name is Asa.
And I'm Allison. Thank you so much for listening. J.S. Bach's Cantata No. 147, J.S.U. Joy of Man's Desiring, was performed by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra conducted by Edward Brewer. Suite No. 2 in B Minor Movement 6 Minuet was performed by the Freiburger Baroque Orchestra and Petra Mulgens, conducted by Gottfried Vandergoltz. The Passacaglia in C Minor was performed by Robert Elaine. Cantata No. 140, Wacke Auf Movement 4 Chorale, was performed by Consentus Musicus Wein, Tolster Nabenchor, and Kurt Ekulutz, conducted by Nicholas Harencourt. The Brandenburg Concerto No. 2 Movement 1 was performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, Henrik Stiering, Michaela Petri, Heinz Holliger, and André Bernard, conducted by Sir Neville Mariner. The Fugue No. 4 in C-sharp minor from the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 1 was performed by Mordecai Shahori. The musical offering Recircar a 6 was performed by Aston Magna. CPE Bach's Concerto No. 4 in C minor Movement 3 was performed by André Steyr and Freiburger Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Petra Mulgens. Symphony in F major Movement 1 was performed by the Kammer Orchestra Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, conducted by Hammer Hunschen. J.C. Bach's Keyboard Sonata in B-flat major Movement 1 was performed by Sophie Yates. Orion Overture was performed by the Hanover Band, conducted by Anthony Halsted. Symphony for Double Orchestra in E-flat major Movement 1 was performed by the Academy of Ancient Music, conducted by Salmon Standage. The Chromatic Fugue on the BAH theme was performed by Mahomet Akansar. Subscribe to the Coffee House on iTunes or Google Play. If you like our show, please like our Facebook page and share it with your friends. Email us at coffeehouseclassical@gmail.com.